know, we're blessed to get in this nation to have the scriptures, and they get to have the freedom of scriptures. And we are started a few weeks ago in the book of Ephesians, and today Danny Ferguson is going to come and share with us on the second chapter of Ephesians.
Thank you, Pastor. Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit. And I say that not only because we need Him, but I need Him right now because this is a message I'm not sure I want to share. I prepared all week. 6 o'clock this morning, He wakes me up and He said, "This is what I want." And I said, "I don't want to." I'm going to be very vulnerable today. God has been transforming my life since I came back to Him in 1982. But the last 5 years has been an acceleration that for me has been phenomenal. I walk in a level of freedom today that I have never experienced. Of who I am in Christ, that has nothing to do with what I do. And that's where I want to start today. Maybe. Angie, you can go ahead and run it, because I'm not going to mess with it, all right? Pardon? Okay. Two of the most important questions in life that people ask are, who am I and why am I here? Who am I and why am I here? In other words, what is my identity and what's my purpose? Being raised in a world has taught us, and especially me, and probably especially you, that who I am is what I do. And it's a lie from the pit of hell that will trap you. It also says who I am is what I did. What I did. It also says who am I is what it's done to me. And who I am is what it was said to me. And even more importantly, sometimes the last one, who I am is what I do, plus the affirmation of others. And it drives us more than we realize. Any of those, and all of those. I know a man who was conceived out of wedlock, who was raised in shame and fear, who was sexually abused as a toddler, who was propositioned twice by homosexuals. Thankfully, acts were never committed. Who was a child, had parents that were both emotionally absent, provided everything physically, absolutely nothing emotionally, who lived much of his school age years in fear, alone, and isolated. So much so that when he went to college, he was so afraid of the world and of people that when people walked toward him, he would cross the street so that he wouldn't have to interact with them. Who is a murderer? Because he was a partaker of aborting his first child. Who walked the life in darkness until 1982. When he found himself walking the streets, not wanting to be divorced, and said, God, where are you? What are you going to do? And who said to that man, you know what you have to do. And if you don't, I'm taking my hand off of your life. So by his grace and with his help, I made the right decision. I went back to him. But I had an awful lot of baggage. An awful lot of baggage that was put on me by the world. Not a lot different than some of the baggage that you carry, because we've all carried it. Because we've been in a world that has been designed by Satan to keep people in bondage, to keep people from being who God created them to be, and to walk the ways that are 180 degree upside down from the world we live in. In the midst of all of that, I want you to know something. You are his masterpiece. I am his masterpiece. It has nothing to do with my behavior. It has nothing to do with what was done to me, with what was said to me, or the decisions that I made. I am his masterpiece. And you are his masterpiece. You are his masterpiece. Megan, you're his masterpiece. Your past doesn't make any difference. You are his masterpiece. Vicky, you are his masterpiece. You are his masterpiece. Dixie, you're his masterpiece. We We are all his masterpiece. And we walk in ways that we're not. But it doesn't change it. It does not change it. We are still his masterpiece. Because it is not us who makes us his masterpiece. We were created that masterpiece in Christ. Created in Christ as the masterpiece of God. Created as a masterpiece because we were in his mind before the foundation of this earth. And he is about working in each and every one of us to restore what the enemy has taken. Our identity in Christ. Joe, you're his masterpiece. You are. Barb, you're his masterpiece. You're his masterpiece. Masterpiece is the Greek word poema. It's where we get the English words poem and poetry. You're God's poetry. Each one of you a poem in his great plan to make this huge group of poetry. An artistic creation. We were created to be his masterpiece in Christ Jesus. He's the one who does it. And it's something that we have to struggle with because we have so learned in the world that it's what I do. We have so learned that it's what somebody else thinks. We've so learned that I have to measure up, that I have to perform. That if I make a mistake, I've failed. Do you realize the only way you grow is through mistakes? You may think otherwise. But the greatest, greatest growth in my life is being able to deal in Christ with all of those things I told you about. They have molded me. And shaped me and taught me how to love. And I'm telling you, there's some things that have happened in my life that if they had not happened, I wouldn't know how to love. And I'm not talking about human love. I'm talking about a love that is totally, absolutely non-judgmental. He doesn't judge any of the stuff that I told you about because of Christ Jesus. And I cannot judge any of you because of the same reason. And the only thing that changed me was his love. His non-judgmental love of me. And that revelation that began to come where I began to understand. Not here, but here. What that was like. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. See, we like to get it backwards. We like to say we are his workmanship, created in Christ, because I do good works. No. There's a lot of things I'm involved in today. Healing Care Ministries is one of them out of Ashland, Ohio. That has been instrumental in the last 3 years of a tremendous growth within me. But I could lay a lot of things down and it wouldn't make any difference. I really could. I could stop being an elder. It wouldn't bother me. Absolutely wouldn't bother me. You know why? I'd still keep doing the same things I do. Because they're God's works, not mine. They're his work. I'm not doing it for him. I'm doing it with him. Because that's what he wants me to do. I did a lot of things for him. And discovered that they weren't really him or for him. They were for me. They were so I felt good about me. That I felt loved because I did them. I felt significant because I did them. I felt understood because I did them. But they were for me. They weren't for him. But now in doing things with him, two things. It's a lot easier and it's more fun. A lot more fun. Wrong way. So, we've been on several trips to Ukraine, and on one of those trips coming back, we stopped in Amsterdam and had the privilege of going to Rembrandt's museum. Filled with masterpieces. Worth hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of dollars. Do you know what was interesting about them? Besides they were well done, they were all different. They were all masterpieces, but they were all different. I'm looking at a lot of masterpieces now, and they're all different. And we need to recognize the masterpiece in each one of us that's different than the masterpiece here. Because when I look at your masterpiece and see it's different than mine, guess what I see? I get a greater, fuller picture of my God. I get a greater, fuller picture of his diversity. I get a fuller, greater picture that helps me with a greater understanding of his love and who he is. Because he loves somebody that is so different than I am. With just the same amount of love. And so when I look at you, I want to see God in you. And it has to go beyond the way you behave. It has to go beyond that. Because it's not about behavior. It's about God in you. It's about the Spirit of God that has created you. And it's about your struggle to let that freedom of who God made you to be out. It's about the struggle you have with a world system that wants to shove you down and criticize and smash and stomp. But this needs to be a place of safety. This needs to be a place where I can share my struggles and not be judged and criticized. It needs to be a place where I can come along somebody and say, hey, how's it going? And there's no fear that what they share is going to be full of criticism, judgment. You need to do this. You need to do that. Why don't you do that? You need to pray more. You need to... No. All I've done is shove them down. So you're all masterpieces, and you're all different, and you're all more valuable than what's up on the screen. More, much more valuable. You're priceless. There's a price on those. You're priceless. Same thing's true of his creation. There's a beauty in his creation. It's an incredible beauty in it. And there are those who, that's where they meet God. In his creation. In his animals. I love the baby lion. I love the baby lion. You're more beautiful than that. You're more important than that. You are his masterpiece. As beautiful of these things are, you are more beautiful. A priceless creation, created in the image of God and brought alive by the cross and the power of the Spirit. And we need to begin to understand that there's a calling on our life to walk as a masterpiece. To walk in the beauty that he's created us. To not be fearful in a world that is increasingly anti-church. And we need to think about that one. We need to think about why somebody in the world would not walk into this place. Because I want to tell you something. It's where the Spirit wants them. It's where God wants them. You know, there's a lot of talk about the death of the American church, but not about the death of the Spirit of God that's moving in this country. We need to think about that one. We need to think about what should this place look like. You know, Pastor Perry talked about the changes on Friday night. Here, as we've been doing those in the structure that we've been doing them for 25 years. Do you think God may want to change something that's 25 years old? He wanted to change me. The death of things that we get used to, the things that we get comfortable with, oh man, we fight it. We fight it tooth and nail. You know why? we are getting something out of it that we don't want to go away. And God says, if it doesn't go away, you're not going to grow in me. It's true with a lot of things in our life. A lot of things we want to hold on to. I'm pondering whether I should share what came to my mind. I think I will. I think I will. Because Deb and I have been here since 1994. And my perspective has been this. My perspective now. Over the years, we became very narrowly focused. And God wants to unfocus us. He's much bigger than this narrow channel that we have been in. He's much bigger than that. Much, much bigger. Much more life-giving. Much more wanting to draw people into Him. Not in the way we do things, into Him. I've learned that I've read the scriptures incorrectly. Yeah. Passages of scripture that I believed, I would have staked my life on 15 years ago, 10 years ago. Nope. No more. Why? Because they were too narrow. And it eliminated people. The scriptures are not to eliminate, they are to include. They're to be inclusive. We don't like inclusive. I may have to change. I may have to look at things different. Somebody may trigger something out of my past that I might have to deal with. Oh, but if we don't allow that, then I don't get triggered and I don't have to change. And then you stagnate and you wonder, where's God? I believe there is this morning, as several people have mentioned, the wind that blew in the doors. Do you know Scripture says the Spirit is like the wind? We don't know where it comes from, and we don't know where it's going. That can really be unsettling. I understand the scripture says decently in order, but I also know that we can use that to control. The balance is delicate. But my perspective, and please hear me, this is not a criticism. This is a perspective of where I am. Okay? That we can control the Holy Spirit out of the place. I think that's what we did Friday night. He was ready to shift things and change things, and we just kept control of it. I have no clue what's going to happen on Friday nights. It may work, it may not work. I'm going to tell you something, and you're going to have to hear this correctly. I really don't care. Am I still passionate about prophecy? Absolutely. But it doesn't have to happen on a Friday night. So this may work, it may not work. We're going to try it and see. Because the point is, this is about Jesus. This is about what He wants. This is about Him. It's not about Marian Christian Center. It's about the power and the Spirit of the living God that wants to transform each and every person to a masterpiece. You know, that scripture is present tense. You are a masterpiece. And you are. But you know, when an artist paints a masterpiece, it's in his head, but it's not yet on the canvas. The masterpiece is still there. It just hasn't come to fruition yet. So you are the masterpiece, but He's continually working to bring that forward to fruition. Rita, you're a masterpiece. Megan, you're a masterpiece. If I didn't call your name, please don't think you're not a masterpiece. So I'm trying to come to a conclusion here how to end this, because to tell you the truth, I had everything all planned out. All week I've been planning it. 6 o'clock this morning, I woke up and He said, "You're going to shift it and change it." I've done it, but He didn't give me an ending. Okay.
Thank you. I just want you to know that if you want to read Ephesians 2, He just shared all of Ephesians 2 in life experience. Okay?